You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
We're back for another week, and for anybody who's been watching our music clips of late, this week we're in the void.
We're in the void, yeah.
We're at my place doing a podcast record. Partly because we've now passed the opening night of our Fringe show.
Which has
meant the rehearsals, which have been heavy up until this point, which is what we've been doing at my place, is kind of a bit of rehearsing, and then we've just been kind of,
recording the podcast down my place and all of that. But no, this time we are back back at Simon's, back in the void.
We're back.
The void is a nice place to be in.
We're around the familiar table.
Yeah.
Little table.
I feel like I should be playing poker or something.
Yes.
Five cards stud. Joker's wild.
Inside the void, it's a little bit mastermind or interrogation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fine. But
where were you on the night of
exactly.
the 27th of February? Oh, we were playing a gig.
We were indeed. So it was. I thought we could chat a little bit about that, kind of peel back the curtain in a sense. So for anybody who is listening to the podcast but wasn't able to come to a show, isn't able to come to any of our shows because you're geographically
challenged.
Challenged is that's what I was thinking. I couldn't think of the word. But yes, opening night went well.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
You know, but we thought we would kind of just talk about that a little bit because you kind of have there's so much it's like this funneling effect of all the different elements coming together to have a show like that kind of come together.
Yeah.
And it all kind of comes to a head, you know. And you've got to also in that moment of all that stuff kind of coming together, you know, keep a level head enough and, you know, you're not just doing the on-stage stuff. It's not like you've got a crew who are putting everything in place and you just walk out there and just do your stuff. You know, you kind of, it's a bit manic.
Yeah, there was a lot of rushing around, wasn't there, before we got up on stage. And because, of course, there was another act on before us and they had a lot of gear to take off and how much time did we have sort of between them finishing and us getting on?
It's 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes, but they were running probably 10 minutes, 7 minutes late, I think it was, but it was, they say 10 minutes late.
Sure.
So we're meant to have 20-minute changeover, in which time they get their gear off the stage, we set all our gear up, we sound check, we then go backstage, the crowd gets let in, and then we come out. That's meant to all happen in 20 minutes. So that's pretty, it's pretty...
it's a pretty tight window.
It's a tight turnaround. And,
yeah.
The fact that they were running late to begin with puts a little bit of a pressure on. Because we're kind of going to get through our show and then there's a little bit of time after our show for the building to be kind of cleared and things like that. So it's, you kind of, even without all of that stuff, you kind of come in to these things a bit, G'd up on edge. But that doesn't help, certainly having to rush. And it's, again, it's not, there's no crew setting your gear up, really. It's pretty much you're doing it.
Yeah.
And we had a few little technical issues, which didn't really help too much because it kind of it drew the sound check out a little bit, and we kind of went into the show with the mics and the fallback not quite sounding exactly how we'd like them. That's not unheard of at gigs, I guess.
No.
It's not like this is the first gig where there's been, that you kind of go into it. It's like, well, that's going to have to do. But it's, I guess it's interesting for anybody who's out there. I mean, in terms of, you know, sharing kind of, I guess, at least from our perspective, how we were feeling. I mean, but I mean, there's some people listening who are never planning to do stuff like this and maybe just wondering what it's like. And there might be some people who are listening who are doing stuff like this and experiencing it or planning to do stuff like this and wondering what it's like. I mean, I used to get nervous before every gig, like pub gigs and things like that. And I get a little bit apprehensive before new gigs, like in new venues.
Yeah.
Or if I've had a gig where I had a bad experience in a venue where it just didn't kind of feel right, go right, and then I've got to go back there and play another gig. You know, so you have those sorts of, you know, get a bit edgy about that. But this is kind of on a whole different level, in the sense that, you know, we're putting on a show and it's a theatre experience in a sense. It's a, you know, it's not a noisy pub. It's, you know, it's not a pub gig. It's not a stage inside a venue where there's a bar and things like that. It's, yeah. it's a performance space and people are just there to listen.
Yeah. Well, it's a performance space that's purpose-built for what it is that we're doing that night. People are there to hear what it is that we do. It's not like you're going to a pub and you're setting up and just the setup before you even start is looked at by the punters as an interruption to their evening of having a shitty and a couple of beers before they go home.
Or watching the footy on the TV.
Yeah. So there was a, there was a lot riding on it, and I felt that there was a lot riding on it from my point of view, and that's just probably pressure on myself.
Yeah, you want an opening night to go well, though.
Well, yeah, that's right, that's right. Not that it was, you know, because it was an opening night, you know, there was a lot riding on it, but there was a lot of build up, there was a lot of work went into that particular night, and it all just came to a head, which that's what opening nights are for. And I suppose, you know, now I'm relieved that the opening night has been done because one, you know, got the run on the board. Beautiful.
Yep.
We know what to expect now because there was always that element of unknown.
Of course.
Because we'd never played, you know, what was the first time that we had played together in front of people other than a live stream. So the dynamic is different.
We did do the gig in the street, but it was half the show.
That was pretty informal.
It was much more informal. And it wasn't through but nevertheless, effects or important. Pedals. It was just straight into the PA.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, you know, this was like
testing everything. A lot of attachment we had, well, I had, for it to work because, you know, this is going to be the template of what we're going to do moving forward.
It is much more of a, it's a theatre and you're almost playing a theatre type performance. You've
very elegant venue.
I'm
glad that they turned the chandeliers on.
Yeah, you've got. I mean, yeah, it's a nice place.
You know, there was a lot of gravitas to the evening because of the venue that we were playing at. So you know, it was pretty important in the scheme of things. And you know, thankfully, it did go well. It's like okay, one down, many more to go. You know.
Yeah,
there was a lot of relief.
Yeah.
From me anyway. At the end, it's just like. Oh, okay. Well, that's...
You can kind of exhale, you know.
Yeah, like
You are kind of holding your breath in the sense that you just want,
as
you
said... It's like I can relax my sphincter now. Cause you know, it's just like... It was like... We're on a podcast, you can't see it, but it was just like you're on the video, it's like... Nee, 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 you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's, but that's the thing. There's all that tension. And we spoke to... In the last season of the podcast, we spoke to Danny Dunner, and he always said that he doesn't get nervous because he practices a lot, and you know. And I think that this for us was it was the first time we played together properly in a long time.
Yeah.
We were playing through new kind of pedal setups to kind of create a sound. We were suited and booted with a new kind of, I guess, look and way of presenting Soul Trader. And, you know, we're part of a big festival, the Fringe Festival in Adelaide, you know, which has a lot of different kind of acts. So you kind of, there's a little bit of weight, you know, in that regard.
Sure. And people were paying money to see us. And,
yeah, yeah.
So you want to deliver, you want to give them their money's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, obviously every subsequent gig, you hope from a technical perspective and things like that goes smoother than the last. You kind of know a little bit. You're going into a lot of unknowns. I mean, the quick changeover is something that puts a lot of pressure on. But it's interesting. I don't know who said it, but you know, you're overestimating the situation and underestimating your ability to deal with it. It's mm-hmm. It's kind of linked to anxiety. You know, you kind of get anxious about stuff. And I think the thing is that, you know, at the end of the day, there was nothing that happened that wasn't well within our grasp in terms of our capabilities of dealing with it. We didn't have any issues. It was just we were rushed around a little bit.
Yeah.
And
in the scheme of things, it was quite minor.
No, and when you and I get out there and play together, you know, it usually goes well, and there's not a lot of factors. I mean, it's two guitars, two voices. You know, we're not dealing with a whole band where other people can stuff us up or trip us over. And for me, it was like spending so long playing for myself. The only thing I had to do was remember the arrangements, because when I'm playing by myself, if I accidentally play a chord progression too long or something like that, so be it. But when you've got somebody else,
when you're trying to be in sync with somebody else,
when you're doing it with somebody else, you've got to go, oh yeah, hang on, I got to actually play the right arrangement here. I can't just wing it and just, oh yeah, I'll just play a few extra chords.
Yeah,
you know, you've actually got to make sure you're kind of on top of it. So. But I don't think, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of the anxiety, even for us around that, is probably us overestimating what's ahead of us and underestimating the fact that we've both got plenty of runs on the board, plenty of experience, plenty of ability to, you know, overcome. And we had a few, technical issues in terms of being able to kind of, your microphone wasn't great, my foldback speaker was complete trash and sounded very distorty and was feeding back a little bit on times. And so there were some challenges there, but I don't really kind of let that stuff throw me. I just kind of go, just battle on, you know, these things happen and, you know, you can't let that upset your apple cart. So once we were into it, I think that we were more than comfortable. And, you know, I think for anybody, you know, a bit like what Danny was saying is if you're well rehearsed, there's going to be nerves the first time. But what you've got to do, I think, subsequent times is actually put yourself back in that position. Not think about how did I feel before the show.
Yeah.
Put yourself in yourself first person. How was I when I got up there? It's just like, I was fine.
Yeah.
And so then when you're going into it the second time, you're actually, you know, mentally picturing that when you're up there, it was fine. Don't picture yourself before when you were nervous, because then you're picturing. There's a sports psychologist that he does sports psychology, but he does other psychology as well. He talks about that in terms of he has a technique of kind of borrowing confidence from situations you've experienced in the past.
Yeah.
And like take that, you know, you're thinking about this new event, take how you felt there, you were confident. Yep, take that. But don't take you being scared and then try to imprint that. Oh, if you're thinking, because if you picture fear, you imprint that fear. Whereas if you picture when we were playing, it was bloody awesome. It rocked. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
So picture that kind of confidence over the situation. And then the next time you go into it, you're picturing, you know, your experience. How many times have you done this before? Heaps, because I just sit there and imagine myself doing it.
Yeah.
I've done it 100 times. How was it? It was brilliant. And you, and then you start to kind of think in that way, so the nerves disappear.
Okay.
It's an interesting kind of concept. That being, and I've, you know, I was saying, I think to you the other day, it's, for me, even this is a quite new experience. So trying to take a previous experience and lay it over this one was a little bit challenging, because this was something very new and different.
Yeah.
In many ways. You had no
point of reference.
No. I mean, I've done some big scary gigs, but this was just so kind of unique. It's a bit hard. And I was pretty focused on, let's just bring all the elements together, all the elements. And it was like telling other people what to do with cameras and setting them up to record so we could get some footage and, you know, where are they and when hit record, and just explaining a whole bunch of stuff. And thankfully we had my kids around who executed brilliantly to kind of take that pressure off. And that was the only thing I was worried about, is that I hadn't given other people the information they needed to do their jobs.
Mm.
But they did them flawlessly. But the thing that I realized after playing the first show that I was going to mention, that I spoke to you about the other day, was this is actually the first time that I've gone back to the same venue multiple times in succession playing the same show. So next Sunday we do the same show again, and then we've got two more after that.
Mm-hmm.
I've played multiple gigs in the same venue, it hasn't been exactly the same. You know, it hasn't been a ticketed, paid show. So this is pretty unique in that sense. And that kind of makes it feel even more like theatre, because we're going back to do the same thing, the same songs in the same order, with similar stories, if not the same stories in between the songs.
Yeah.
You know, same outfits, same everything, except the crowd will be different. You know, the feel will be the same because the lights will be the same. We'll be looking into, you know, some silhouettes in the audience, but not really seeing the crowd. So it will be interesting.
It will. And I reckon this coming Sunday is going to be the same in the crowd, or if not more. I have a feeling that, we'll be able to replicate the amount of people there in attendance, and there'll be new people experiencing it for the first time. It'll be really good. I mean, for me, it's going to be better. Not saying that the opening night was not good, but I know what to expect.
Some of that nervous energy, which might inhibit your performance, is just diminished.
Well, yeah, because I always, if I'm playing in a new venue, and yeah, if I haven't played at a particular venue before, I'm always more, nervous, I suppose. I mean, I'm nervous slightly before for any show. I think it's a good thing to be slightly nervous. It means that you want to put on a good show. You actually care about what it is that you do.
Absolutely.
And so there is that element of that. So I'm always going for a sneaky wee before I get on stage. More so at a venue or at a show like that, or at a venue which I've not played before, because there's just so many elements that are not within your control, that there's so many elements of unknown that you have to walk through to get to the other side on. And you just don't know what to expect. But once you get through that and you know what to expect, then the nerves are just normal, I want to put on a good show nerves, rather than, what if this happens? What if this happens? just elements of the unknown. So, I think this, for me, this Sunday, I'll now that I know what to expect, yes, I know that we're going to have a certain amount of time to get our gear on, and I'm not going to feel like I'm going to pass out before we get on stage because, you know, the blood pressure's going through the roof and all that sort of stuff. And because I can prepare for it. you know, I can prepare for what it's going to be. That being said, you know, it's every show is different. But if you have an element of familiarity, and you know, you're going back to the same venue, and you have the same people behind the bar, for instance, or the same people booking, and they're looking after you, and all of that sort of stuff. It's, you know, a little bit of familiarity is good, but of course, you know, yeah, to get that familiarity, you have to go through the first time not being familiar. So,
yeah.
So that's the point of view from myself on the gig. I'm really looking forward to it, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think I was prepared for the mad scramble to try to get stuff set up. And so I was in kind of mad scramble mode, get as much set up as I do it as quickly as I possibly can to try to then have a bit of calm just before we sound check, you know, yeah. Like just to, you know, go ballistic in terms of setting up all the gear. And I'd set up a mic stand before with the mic on it and you know, pick holder and iPad holder and stuff like that, and had that all kind of done so I could just plonk that down and then go the pedal.
Yeah.
So I was just, you know, trying to, you know, take that nervous energy and just focus into being ballistic in terms of trying to get set up. And I think the thing is that it's like that, you know, the serenity prayer, which is, you know, grant me this serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the power to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mm. And, you know, there's always the potential that you play a gig and you run into some sort of, you know, technical difficulty, I guess. And, you know, that can always happen at any night. I mean, any night we play at the venue, something could happen that upsets the apple cart. But my thing is, well, you know, talking about that kind of, you know, overestimating the situation, underestimating your skills. Yeah. I think the thing is that, you know, work the problem. Yeah, there's only problems. There's only solutions, no problems kind of thing. You know, like you just go, what's the problem? Okay, well, what's the solution? We do this. Okay, let's do that then. And I just kind of try to, as much as possible, just go, well, I can only control what I can control. I reckon you know, get going up there, play my first few chords, get into the song, you know, get it rolling, press my pedal board at the right time. Oh, there was one song where I left it on my pedal board. I've got a Helix and I've got a speaking mode. And one song I left it on speaking for the first verse, so I had no reverb in my voice. Sounded really good, actually.
Yeah.
To me, through the fallback, it sounded fine. Assuming it probably sounded fine at the front as well, but...
Yeah.
Chances are
it would have just sounded like a dynamic
sort
of production thing, and it would have been fine.
But you know, I think the thing is that you're just prepared through your practice and ability to, you know, tackle those challenges when they come along. And I just kind of try to waste as little energy as possible. I have a lot of, you know, before I go out and do these things, I'm pretty kind of like a bit sleepy or quiet, and I do a bit of kind of sighing or heavy breathing, you know, just big deep breaths just to, again, just, you know, help, you know, just relax nice and calm, nice and zen, which you'd be able to understand, just trying to kind of relax it down.
Yeah.
Again, it's those, you know, so much of it is just overestimating, but I mean, I just kind of go, well, look, we'll just take every gig as it comes. And as you said, every subsequent gig, you've got a little bit more kind of a knowledge of the situation.
Yeah.
And therefore you would hope that, you know, you can kind of be a little bit more relaxed and open up a little bit more and maybe play a little bit better and, and hopefully, you know, you don't run into any technical issues. But hey, if you do, you just overcome them.
That's right. I mean, the thing is, though, is that you're going to be judged not on the technical issue, right, but on the way that you handle it. And if the shit really hit the fan, well, then we just take the plugs out. and we play. We just play
that,
without.
I had actually thought of that.
You know
what
I mean? It's like I wouldn't have a problem with that, and I'd make a joke out of that, and people would appreciate it.
Yeah, no,
I would imagine. It's like the show must go on. It's like, oh, well, let's just take the plugs out, you know, and we'll just treat it like a house concert.
I was going to say.
Because it's not, because, I mean, if the sound really stuffed up, it's not my job to fix the sound. We've got a crew that is meant to work that out. So it's like our job is to put on a performance. So if there's no sound, well, then we just do it totally unplugged.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I had thought of that.
If I was in the audience and that happened, I'd be on my feet going, "You, well done, guys."
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, it's absolutely flawless, you know.
I had thought the same thing. I thought, if we have a blackout, I guess we just play finish the show acoustically by mobile phone torchlight. They can all just shine their torches on us.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
And we can have it under our faces. And it's really scary. Ooh.
But yeah.
Oh, look, you know, I mean that's like the far end of the spectrum of how things can fuck up. But it's like, you know, I suppose you know we both need to trust in ourselves that we've done enough gigs that if the shit really hit the fan, we would just come up with something, you know. And you know, I mean, that's never in question in my mind in terms of that. You know, it's just a familiarity thing. But
yeah,
you know, I think with any opening night, there's always a sense of relief that, okay, it's gone off pretty much without a hitch. That's cool. And, you know, one down, many to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's, no, it was good. I mean, I think overall, I mean, we basically kind of, you know, feel that it kind of went as well as it could have gone. If you're listening to this, if you listen to it when it kind of lands, you know, tickets are still available. This will come out on a Friday, and you know, we've still
Friday the 4th of March.
Yep, that sounds about right. And we're playing on the 6th. Then we're also playing on the 15th and the 16th. So if you're listening to this and you, want to come along, if you're listening to this and you kind of can't come along, we will kind of the other side of the fringe shows. You know, probably release some with videoing and got audio recording of the show. So we will probably release a couple of clips from the show once the shows are kind of in the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
That's very American.
In the rear view mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rear vision mirror. But yeah, once we've kind of got past the shows, we'll release a couple of clips so you can kind of see what it's all about. And yeah, the kind of new look, Soul Trader, and new sound, I guess, because there's two of us. But that's a kind of a rollback to to how it previously was. But it's obviously sounding better than ever.
I think so.
Oh yeah, it's sounding good. I mean, and there are clips for those who are listening. If you go to Soul Trader Music on soultradermusic.com or go to our social media, which I guess if you're listening to the podcast, you may have already been there, but there's a few clips from the void where we're sitting recording this. A few kind of acoustic, tracks that we put on there.
Yeah.
And, we will be doing on the other side of the fringe shows some regular kind of live streams as well. And there's a lot of stuff kind of coming up. We spoke a bit about it kind of
last week.
It's kind of exciting times ahead. One thing you should definitely do if you're listening is go to the Soul Trader website, soultradermusic.com, and sign up to our mailing list. So there's a link there on the homepage and the menu. You can just click on the mailing list or newsletter and sign up for that to kind of keep track of all the stuff we're doing. Post Fringe, basically, we'll be doing a regular kind of mail out on the mailing list, keeping up to date with all the kind of stuff that's going on, linking you off to various things, but the mailing list will be the kind of the what's the kind of early access to, you know, best place to kind of find out about things first and find out what's kind of coming up. You know, we have discussed kind of Patreon and things like that as something we might do down the track, but the mailing list is going to be the place to be.
Yeah.
In terms of finding out about, yeah, stuff that we're doing and getting involved and
because we want we want to build a tribe. You know, we want to build a community around us and the and more importantly the music that.
Sorry about that, Corey.
What happened there?
I just elbowed my headphones off the back of the chair.
Well, it's live.
Probably couldn't even hear it. It probably just, you know, me going. Sure. Oh dear.
I'm pretty sure these sensitive mics would pick that up. But, yeah, building a community, building a tribe around the music, around Soul Trader is, dare I say, a brand in inverted commas. But, yeah, it's going to be really good to it's really good. It's going to be really good having that sort of direct communication with sort of the tradies around the world.
Yeah. Yes.
I still think that's a great name for anyone who follows Soul Trader. Call them the tradies.
Yeah, yeah. I think we just get it just get everybody comes to the show wearing a high-vis vest.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. No, they've got to have a name. So that's as good as any that I've heard. So yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean. Look, there's lots coming up. As I said, we're kind of in between our first two shows, I guess, and then we've got a little bit of a slightly longer break before the last couple.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, share it around. Make sure you are following us across all the social media platforms because, you know, we will be posting kind of different content in different places. And obviously, you know, on Facebook and Instagram, we're kind of raining down a fair bit of promotional content at the moment for selling tickets for these shows. But if you're outside of Adelaide, you know, please just, like and share. And if you know anybody who's in Australia from Adelaide, please share it with them. But, please share the video clips around.
Yeah.
The more people we can kind of bring onto our Facebook and Instagram, that is, and we've spoken about this before in the podcast, as bad as that is, that does help an artist to have a big following on social media. Some people do it, as we've spoken about in the past, kind of by nefarious means. Is that the right word? Yeah. I think so. They pay somebody on Fiverr to get them fake views and fake follows and things like that. And we don't want to do that. We want to do it the good old fashioned way by finding real people.
Do it organically.
So if you think you know somebody who would like the podcast or like the songs, please tag them or share away or whatever.
Yeah, if you like them, do it. Share it. If you don't like the person,
do it as well.
Do it anyway because you know. If it's torture to them, at least they're still listening. Also, too, if you're not in Adelaide, if you're not in Australia, you can still buy a ticket. You're just not able to come to the show. Just consider it a donation.
Yeah, if you,
I don't know why you'd want to do that, but
no, you can
if you want to.
yep, and I think we've got.
And if we're able to find out if there's people outside. In a geographic area, you know, maybe we can send them some gear.
Yeah,
you know, buy a ticket. Don't come to the show because it's not worth buying a plane ticket from, say, the UK to come over. But if there's a way in which we know that send some stuff to you,
it's definitely worth it.
As a thank you anyway.
It's definitely worth it. We're really good.
Well, yeah, we are, but I mean, you know, that is a long bow to draw.
Yes,
I'm not going to say no if someone does do that though. It's just like, well,
if you fly from if you fly in from the UK to see one of our fringe shows, we'll definitely give you a free CD.
Yeah. If that's not inspiration enough, I don't know what is.
Yeah, but if you are over there, maybe save your money, have a house concert when we're over there later in the year. But if you know anybody out there, as I said, don't have to make these shows, but we're just trying to build, as Corey said, build the tribe, build the what's a group of tradies called?
Oh, a collective noun of tradies, a smoko of tradies.
I was going to think a union.
A union of trade. Oh, yeah, of course it would be, yeah.
But, yeah, look, I mean, we're trying to build...
Smoko's better, though.
Yeah, we want to build that audience.
I don't know if that's going to be lost outside of Australia, but anyway.
What, the tradie thing?
No, Smoko.
Oh, Smoko, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe that's a global term. I don't know. Smoko. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But, yeah, look, we're just trying to... spread the message.
Share the love.
Exactly. And we will have lots of stuff coming out across this year and be doing a lot more, playing in a lot more places. And, if we can build that audience with your help, that would be great. But, yeah, and obviously the audience of the podcast as well, because we kind of, it kind of does kind of link in with what we're doing, and it's just building the whole... the whole tradie fan base, the whole Soul Trader fan base. So, thanks for listening again to another podcast. We'll be back next week post gig two, but there's plenty happening in the world to talk about. If you're out there in the world, even though we're not talking about it in the podcast and getting all political, our thoughts are certainly with the people of Ukraine. And if you're out there listening and you happen to have kind of family or friends there, we're certainly, thinking of those people doing it kind of tough at the moment. And hopefully that kind of, well, with any luck, that situation kind of, settles down, let's say, in one way or another soon. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We'll be back with you in another week's time.
Yes.
Stay safe out there, and we'll speak to you soon.
Ciao for now.
See ya.
You have been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.